Rus Perek Dalad Pasuk Hey. So Boaz has laid out the situation about a field to be redeemed in front of his uncle Tov, a.k.a. Ploni Almoni, and said, will you do the redemption? You are the number one applicant. And Ploni Almoni says, you betcha, I'm going to redeem. He sees a bargain on his hands. He's going to get a cut-rate chance to redeem and salvage the family's honor by redeeming a field. Until now, Boaz has not mentioned Rus in any way. So the Mefarshim tell us, Ploni Almoni assumes she has no involvement. It's a field from his brother Elimelech and Elimelech's wife Naomi, and it's a family matter not involving a Moaviyah. If the Goel refuses to redeem, which he didn't, he agreed, there was no need to mention the situation. But now that Tov has said, yes, I'll do it, Boaz has to lower the boom with the second part, the surprise. Vayomer Boaz, v'yom kenoscha hasada miyad Naomi. Boaz said to Tov, the day that you buy the field from Naomi, ume eis rus ha-moaviyah, eishes ha-meis kanisa. From Rus, the Moaviyah, so he doesn't even hide it, the Moabites, wife of the deceased of Mahlon, you must also buy it. It's written with the yud at the end of the word, kanisi, I have bought it, but it's pronounced kanisa, you will have to buy it. That, of course, is an unconscious and not so unconscious prediction of the future, that it will not be Tov who buys it, it's going to be Boaz who does. So kanisi is actually more accurate in the meta vision of what's about to happen. And why lahakim shem hames al nachalo? So to perpetuate the name of the deceased on his inheritance. By saying perpetuate the name of the deceased, that right there is an immediate allusion to Yibum. And that right there is enough to scare Tov out of his sandals. His sandals will play a part in a minute. Now that Tov has agreed in principle to redeem the field, Boaz points out that half the field is Mahlon's inheritance and it belongs to Rus. The redeemer has to redeem Rus's portion as well as Naomi's portion, and a necessary condition to do so is marriage to Rus, hence the mention of Yibum language. As Rashi says, Atatzarach liknos v'hi eina misratza elo imkein tiseno. She will not sell unless you marry her. So one of the preconditions that's being made by the field and by me at the same time, by stressing that she's Moabiyah and Eshes Hames, Boaz knows not so subtly that these are discouraging aspects to Tov. They are undeniably part of the deal. He's not hiding anything or making it sound worse, but he's definitely putting a spotlight on the parts that Tov would rather avoid, as we'll see in the next pasuk. And so Tov immediately is going to recoil and say, oh boy, no way, says Tov in pasuk Vav, by Yomer HaGoel, and the Redeemer said, so he's Ploni Almoni, he's the Goel, he does not get a name, because his behavior does not reflect honorably on him. Lo Uchal Lig'ol Li. I cannot redeem for myself, pen ashchis es nachalosi, lest I ruin my own inheritance. Whew, very insulting way to put that. Ge'al lecha ato es ge'ulosi. You redeem my redemption for yourself. Yeah, take it. Ki lo uchal ligol, because I am not able to redeem. I will not redeem. I am not capable of redeeming. Ploni Almoni says twice, I cannot redeem, indicating that he has multiple concerns and reasons to withdraw. Chazal identify them, and none of them reflect well on him. Number one, his fear about ruining his own inheritance is talking about his current wife and children. He says, by having two wives, I will ruin my peaceful home life. Whether or not that is true, it's a mitzvah to do yibum for this bereft widowed woman. And his concern about his personal comfort comes first. Second of all, maybe it's financial. He's worried that the large outlay of redemption cash will bankrupt him, and I won't be able to pay my own workers. I can't be cash poor. Maybe less negatively, he worried, say Chazal, that he wouldn't perform Yibum properly for the sake of the mace, but will be distracted by the physical attraction to Rus, who was a beautiful woman. This would ruin the Yibum. And then the Yibum won't fulfill the purpose of perpetuating the name of the Mace of Machlon. And here, you have to give him a little bit of credit, because this is one of the many reasons that we don't perform Yibum in today's day and age. Kavana is very difficult to judge in these kinds of things. But the Medrash says that it's absolutely negative, because he said, according to the Medrash, Machlon died because he married this woman, a Moabiyah. I will not risk the same fate. He also said marrying a Moabiyah will ruin my yichus. It'll be ma'arev psoles bivonai. It will intermingle impurity among my children. This reveals, says the Medrash, the depth of his ignorance, because his own nephew Boaz had publicized the halacha. Moavi is not allowed to marry Jewesses, but Moabiyah certainly are. And he's handing her over to Boaz, who's willing to marry her himself. The entire Sanhedrin had just heard Boaz say, marry the woman, and they hadn't objected. He's got Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov, he's got every great sage of Klal Yisrael right in front of him, nodding that it can go ahead, but he's so frum that he doesn't want to do it. He says to Boaz, which is also a little insulting, you have no wife and children anymore, they all died, so you marry her. By rejecting Rus for the sake of his reputation, Chazal tell us, he lost his reputation. His name never appears by name in the Megillah. He loses the opportunity to father the entire royal line of Klal Yisrael Malchus Beis David, the Mashiach. His choice to not act in kindness, and again, this is the book of Chesed, the book of loving kindness, shows that even his name wouldn't be preserved. Many wicked people's names are still out there, but this man's name is lost. And so he instead, by worrying about ruining his yichus, ruins his own yichus and does exactly what he feared most to himself.